You are now entering the spoiler zone. The following podcast contains explicit plot details and pockets of profanity. You have been warned. The Exton Moss Experiment. Adventures in wine and space with Simon Exton and Ken Moss. Hello everyone, and a very warm welcome to another edition of the Exton Moss Experiment. I'm Ken Moss.
I'm Simon Exton.
This time it's another in our Doctor Who special mini-season to celebrate the 60th anniversary. It's the Daleks in colour. It's time to encounter the Daleks once again, but this time in a way you've never seen them before. Originally transmitted in December 1963 to February 1964, the seven original episodes of the first Dalek story have received a cosmic makeover, dazzlingly colourised and weaved together into a 75-minute blockbuster. With brand new sound and a brand new score created by Mark Ayres, the Daleks has been gloriously updated, while ensuring the original story remains as thrilling as it was in 1963.
That city down there is a magnificent subject for study.
In the distance, the city looks as if they make science and invention their profession.
I can only imagine what sort of people these are.
Ian. What are they?
The Daleks are strong, and they hate us.
They're afraid of you because you're different from them.
The Thal people wish to live in peace.
Exterminate!
But why do you have to destroy? Can't you use your brain?
Only one race can survive. We will be the masters. We will be the masters.
We first got this on the 23rd of November 2023 to celebrate the 60th anniversary of Doctor Who, and we're going to give you a full commentary.
And to show our dedication to the podcast, it's now nearly a week later and neither of us have seen it through.
No, we haven't. I've seen about the first 20 minutes.
No, I've seen about the first 10.
Well, I didn't want to be spoiled any further than that, specifically so that we could pod about it and be gloriously surprised. Well, first things first, you know the rules. It's time to get out the tonic screwdriver and have a drink. This time we're on Elemental Classic Dry Gin. It's 42%, and the info bollocks says, the Elemental family is made up of husband and wife, Joe and Nikki, along with Izzy, and then a whole support crew made up of family, friends and neighbours who we could not do without, as well as a few chaotic kiddos and furry friends. So when we say family-run distillery, we really mean it. Driven by the support of the Elemental family, determination and our love of Cornwall, we craft award-winning spirits using traditional methods at our distillery in Tregonetha. Is that how we're pronouncing that? It's not Tregonetha or something like that, is it?
I don't know, I'm not Cornish.
Elemental Gin is artfully crafted using a unique blend of 12 botanicals, sourced from around the world. Grassy notes with a welcome breath of vibrant citrus and fragrant coriander, a touch of warmth from the spices, followed by soft chamomile and earthy pepper notes. To taste, fresh earthy juniper and sherbet notes, bittersweet citrus from the hand-peeled oranges and lemons, classically dry, yet smooth and sweet with a long, gentle, spicy finish. Well, it's another flowery one. First things first, Dr. Exton, nasal appraisal, please.
Solvent.
Oh, I see where you're coming from.
That's because it smells like solvent.
You're a harsh man, Dr. Exton. I actually got sherbety after that. Anyway, speedos on from the top of the cliffs. Dive in. It's smooth and harsh at the same time.
It doesn't taste like solvent. I mean, actually, I have no idea what solvent tastes like, but I don't imagine it tastes like this. It's got a lovely sort of bitter quinine-y aftertaste to it, but it's got quite a lot of smoothness to it on the first mouthful as well.
There's quite a tingent bitterness to it as an aftertaste.
Yeah.
And it does dry the tongue a little. I'm not keen on that.
I quite like it, but do I do more than quite like it? I think you could pick this out of a lineup.
Oh, really? I'm not mad struck, I've got to be honest.
I don't think I could drink an awful lot of it, but I'd quite enjoy what I do drink, and it probably makes a very nice martini. I think I'm going to give it a 4.
I'm going to stick with 3 on this one. I think that bitter edge just lets it down, and there's not a lot else going on for me. It's got the elements in there. It's definitely trying, but I think there's flavours fighting in there. And what we've had in the past is flavours fighting tend to level each other out. It's another one that's not bad. It's just a little unremarkable for me.
Whereas I do think it's quite nice, but not nice enough for a 5.
So with glass in hand, it's time to descend into the undergallery and open up the Black Archive.
No, it isn't. Come with me to the Imaginarium.
I always like it in here.
So does Spaff.
Oh, dearie me. Silurian pops. I thought they were in the gift shop.
And empty jelly bean packets.
He does like his beans.
Where does he get all the jelly beans from, and why doesn't he leave any for us?
Well, we started selling them in the gift shop, but you'd never know, because we never seem to have any in.
Well, what I think we should have, bearing in mind what we're about to watch, is every classic Doctor Who story re-edited for a modern audience.
Ooh, well, that's so big. I think I'm going to jump on the bandwagon with you. Yes, heartily
and
agree there.
And not just that, not only re-edited, but the black and white ones in colour.
Yes, marvellous. I completely agree. And I'm going to really hack off the purists here. Widescreened.
Yep.
Oh, really?
Yep, if you're going to do it, do it balls deep.
I've been more excited about coloured Daleks than the actual new series with David Tennant. I have yearned for colourised black and white Doctor Who for years, so this is the pinnacle for me. What a present for the 60th. I know it's not in widescreen, but I would have had it in widescreen. Anything, frankly, to open up the floor to modern fans who wouldn't touch black and white with a barge pole, frankly, might not even touch 4:3. Plus, I'm a sucker for standardisation. So if we had, say, 75-minute coloured stories in widescreen from beginning to end, you'd have my wholehearted support.
That might be a challenge with the two-parters. You'd need the Ian Levine edit.
No, you mean Hartnell gurning every 4 seconds. I'll pass, thanks. So, here we are, back in the viewing room. With
Look.
What?
Bearing in mind the special nature, Spaff's left us some jelly beans.
You are sure those are jelly beans?
The packet's unopened. It's not unknown for him to do something nice.
No, he has his moments. He's a typical Silurian. So, with a smile on our face and a song in our hearts, it is Ron VT on Doctor Who, the Daleks in colour.
You know what a sucker I am for the title of the sequence. And yes, you can play the repetition alarm at this point. But that just looks amazing in colour.
And sounds amazing. I've got the tingle from that. What a really nice reimagining of the original sequence. Now, whenever I've seen the Hartnell title sequence, or to an extent the Troughton one, colourised by fans, it's always been massively overdone with every bit of colour hurled at it. And it's too much. Now this, I think, is really sympathetically done.
And I do like the way they started off with a little bit of black and white and then goes to the skin tones. They're not quite there, are they?
No, and I apologise in advance to any of the colorisation team that are watching this, because one of the very, very tiny criticisms I've got of this is that it's slightly enthusiastic in places with the colour. Yeah. Particularly, I've got to say, this forest scene, it's very colourful. Now, I suspect that the team have got their colour palette from reference photos and set photos at the time, because I know the team that are doing this are really, really meticulous. So it's probably not a million miles off what the colours were on set. I think there have been a few artistic liberties, but not many.
Yeah. I mean, the problem with that is that the colours of the sets were generally designed to look good in black and white.
Yeah.
In the same way that the central console was green.
Green. Colour for consoles is green. The vegetation here certainly hasn't damaged the city. It has, and I'm unashamedly going to say this, completely brought this to life. I have always thought the Daleks, and even the Daleks' invasion of Earth, to be quite honest, are quite dull stories. I know.
I don't think they are. I think they're 60s Who, and because they're 60s Who, you should only watch them a couple of episodes at a time. And there aren't a huge number of them that really work. So Susan's spiking some sloe gin to knock Barbara out.
You see, they've also done up the sound and music on this, and I don't remember it bleeping like that, because they weren't that ignorant. Oh, the food machine scene's gone. Now, inevitably, we're going to have some casualties. They've said quite openly, some of your favourite bits are going to have gone. But
The whole soft-centred, petrified monster and flower getting squished thing has gone. Nothing. I know, but the soft-centred bit was from the film. But
it's not lost anything.
I'd forgotten quite how bouffant his hair was in the early stories. I shall do what I want to do. Why
endanger the rest of us by staying here? Grandfather, please!
And picture-wise, it's never been in the best nick, the Daleks. So I think with modern algorithms, they could... Ooh, now, do we like the CGI TARDIS?
I think it looks fine.
Mm. With modern algorithms, I have seen really old black
and white.
Cloister
Bell.
Yes. Oh. I don't know. The power take-up was rising normally. And what's wrong? Oh, don't distract me, please. Yes.
I love all these sort of things, and the redone special editions of classic stories, so that absolutely makes Kinder. There we are. You see, the end of it's unscrewed itself and the fluid has run out. What have you got to spare? Oh, no need for that. This is easily repaired. And for the purists, and actually for me when I fancy it, as long as you've still got access to the original, what's the harm in having this? But you must have
some somewhere, surely. I mean, in time to come, they will develop an algorithm that automatically colorizes entire episodes and does it flawlessly. We're not quite there yet. But one of the things that I do think that they could have done to have run this through is a real good high-definition filter. They are out there. The best example I can think of is from, I think it's an episode of Star Trek Deep Space Nine or Voyager or something like that, when there's a flypast of some ship and you can't make out the name of the ship. Now, it's been released in high definition on Blu-ray, but somebody's taken that and then put it through another filter and it's even more high definition. And you can now make out clear as day the name of this ship that you couldn't even on the Blu-ray. It's very cleverly done. But again, a minor nitpick. Let's not take away from the brilliance of what this is. Oh, and by the way, did you remember the food supply? The tenant door noise there.
I do like a 60s alien jungle. I know we see them an awful lot in Terror Nation stories, but I do like them.
Just a little flash there of Mark Ayres' new score.
You all right? I wonder if her blouse was always that nasty pink colour.
I suspect it wasn't quite that pink.
And probably went with her skirt a bit better than that does.
Was Ian's tie purple? His shirt bright blue, his cardigan brown, and his pants grey.
Trousers? We're not American.
Oh, sorry, yes.
Ian has never struck me as a fashion icon. Whereas Barbara always gave the impression that she was pretty smart. Oh, now that works nicely.
Oh, yeah, that's very nice.
The false perspective, which was always a little obvious in the black and white, you can still see the join, but it is less obvious, isn't it? In that one, it is more obvious.
It is
the previous
obvious.
One, it looked pretty good.
But again, it's part of that because we're looking for it. See, where are we here? We're just about 9 minutes in and they're already coming to the end of episode one. And have we genuinely, honestly, really lost anything?
We've lost some TARDIS scenes, and you know how much I like TARDIS scenes. But there were still plenty in the TARDIS. And for all that, I've taken the piss out of her blouse. She was superb in this.
I've never actually noticed it. Buttons up at the back.
Which does beg the question, who did it up for her? Was she already knocking off Ian by this stage?
They're very pleased to see each other later in the story.
Well, you would be, really, wouldn't you?
Well, true.
And actually, the way they are obviously reusing the same sets from different angles, it does work very effectively.
It does. And here we are, the first cliffhanger.
She absolutely sells that scene when, realistically, she's just being menaced by a sink plunger.
Is Hartnell, has he got the hanky code?
I didn't notice what colour hanky he had and
purple,
which pocket it was
hanging
out of.
And I don't know what the code is.
No, I don't know what purple is. What form does it take? Oh, is it that matters? Hanky code was a little bit before my time. It's past the danger point. Yes, that explains a lot. Yes, the Carleds very conveniently wrote in English.
I'm just thinking the same. Radiation sickness.
Atmosphere here is polluted with a very high level of fallout, and we've been walking around in it completely unprotected.
Oh, it's really nicely edited. I do quite like this.
All human tissues, but leaves the buildings and machinery intact.
And for all I criticised the skin tones earlier, they look pretty good here. Maybe it's just Barbara's that's a little bit off.
Well, the lighting in here is a bit sort of bluey grey, so that's why they all look a little bit bluey grey.
Shiny.
I'm guessing that they were sprayed with water to show radiation sickness. We need an immediate return to the ship, and
I suggest we leave at once. We're not leaving until we found Barbara. Did you know I used to work as a trained casualty for training emergency services when I was a student?
No, that one has passed me by.
It was more for fun than anything. I didn't really get Dalek reveal.
Now, first big inclusion of Mark Eyre's score. What do we think so far?
I think it sounds fantastic.
So do I. Oh, there'll be people... I haven't read Twitter or anything like that, but there'll be people out there that absolutely detest this.
Well, they can do what... I mean,
ooh.
To be fair, they don't have to watch it, do they? They can leave it for the rest of us.
I like the updated Dalek gun effect.
And the Daleks have been coloured nicely.
Yeah, they have, very nicely.
And they've not gone for ridiculous over-colourisation.
Not without help. The feeling's coming back, don't worry. Come over here. It's entirely telling that two of us are sat here, having seen this God knows how many times in the past, completely silent and spellbound. Susan's just sat there preparing, how can I scream next? Oh, Grandfather! I think they must
have drugged me in some way. Barbara's first thought is that she's on a come down, so she's obviously enthusiastically engaged with the 60s.
The Dalek controls are very 60s as well, aren't they?
Yes, which I quite like. Very, very sort of pop art. Now that's a little odd because the spot is quite markedly purple, but he doesn't have a purple tinge to him.
Oh, that's a good point.
Whereas the Dalek does.
I'm just trying to look at these Daleks as a brand new viewer in 1963. They're quite creepy, really. And very well made. I mean, yes, we can look at how shabby they are in comparison with the modern Daleks, but they look very metallic.
That little flashback to the arrival in the jungle wasn't in the original, was it?
No, it wasn't. That's a very modern edit, that. A flashback to something that happened 10 minutes ago. I have no problem with it, but there'll be people out there that don't like it.
Well, there are people out there who don't like lots of things. Can you believe it? There are people out there who have the audacity not to like the Web Planet. I know. Unbelievable.
Oh, Hartnell's necktie. It's gone from being bright blue to black, and I've got Sir preferring the black.
Yeah, the bright blue was a bit Colin Baker, wasn't it?
Mm.
Disgustingly mutated is very verbose for a Dalek. Oh, now he's got a purple tinge to him, hasn't he?
Yes, pinky purple.
Yes, but his clothes don't.
Oh, his waistcoat does.
That's been very, very, very picky.
Yes, it is. Oh, this is lovely. There's a new wonderful...
Why hasn't he done up his cardigan properly? He's very slovenly.
Yeah, cardigans. How old would he be here? Let's think. At worst, 37. No, he would be 37. What am I talking about? Oh, another flashback.
Yeah. I can't be certain, but it does give us a chance. Oh, this is marvellous. I've learned quite a
lot from the Daleks. The who?
The Daleks are captors here.
But what about the what do you call them, the Thals?
Oh, we need more black and white who in colour. This is marvellous.
I mean, the colourisation is fantastic, but it's also the edit. As cool as you possibly
can. Well, there is that, yes, yes. No, I want you to stay here, Susan. You must leave now. So, again, a testament to the films. I prefer 2150 over Doctor Who and the Daleks, but they condensed this story down into, what, 80 minutes or whatever it was?
Yeah.
And nothing was lost. Now, I know that the story on telly was told in a slightly different way, so it's harder to edit it down like that, but I honestly don't think we've lost anything. The pacing is wonderful. Top marks to whoever's edited this down.
Yeah, there's bits and pieces, like the squishy flower and that kind of thing, but...
There's a lot of Susan screaming been edited out. Good
move.
Yeah, I
can live without that.
Oh, Grandfather, the TARDIS door slammed! Straight there, straight back.
Are you ready? Yes, you need to go, my dear. Let's be honest, you're the most expendable.
You're squashing my wrists! Oh, my God, a Dalek! I hate saying plungers! Ooh, that's nice. Dalek eye effect.
Very nicely done.
Oh, this is very film, isn't it?
Yes.
Oh, is this where she gets hit in the face with sticks? I wonder if they've chopped that out. Yes, they have.
And the music, well, the score is fantastic. One of the girls, has she reached the jungle? Yes. And she's fallen over for the 87th time.
Oh, Grandfather! This edit is brilliant.
Yeah, superb. Everything about it, the edit, the colourisation, and yet we can, on tiny, tiny, tiny details, pick apart the colourisation in terms of the skin tone and a spotlight and things. But look at the way they've done the shadow and reflection on the alien flowers. The alien jungle through the TARDIS doors, and it's absolutely beautifully done.
I wonder if when they do tart the rest of them up, which I think they're aiming to do one a year of these, whether they'll fill in the TARDIS walls with proper TARDIS walls rather than photo blow-ups, because they will be horrific. It will let it down.
What, you mean like the obvious studio floor there?
Yes. The St. John's ambulance sign is much more noticeable as well.
You see, when Caroline Ford is given something decent to do, she's not bad. Okay, she's not Maureen O'Brien great, but she's a decent little actress.
All she was given, though, was, "Oh, Grandfather!"
Apart from the occasional thing like this.
But even there, she's cowering on the floor, terrified of...
Yes, but she's doing it well. Just because she wasn't a very interesting character doesn't mean that she wasn't competently acted.
You haven't taken the drugs that I've given you. Why? Look at how sensibly dressed I am.
No, strange man dressed in PVC. I haven't taken the random drugs you chucked at me. I do quite like his cloak, actually.
Not that I'm in any way aware of what it feels like, but somebody once told me that the Doctor Who title sequence from the Hartnell era looked like falling down the K-hole after you've taken Ket. I am happy to live in ignorance.
Okay, I haven't a clue. Really not my thing. I've seen too many ketamine bladders.
Ketamine what?
Oh, ketamine bladder. One of the nasty and largely permanent side effects of ketamine is that your bladder loses a massive amount of its elasticity. So you're stuck with the tiniest bladder in the world.
Right. So basically you pee every 5 minutes.
Basically you need a catheter.
I'll just try out these drugs on my grandfather. And cue rave music.
As soon as grandfather's properly awake, we must try and find a way of helping the thugs.
Can't even help ourselves. Locked up in here like this.
They're very revealing trousers.
There's quite a lot revealing about the Fells on the quiet, which is only exacerbated in colour.
What is it, Temesis?
This must be the croft in which the strangers arrived here.
Oh my God, his sibilant S's. We were right to believe. The Daleks in the city, suffering from radiation sickness.
She's almost wearing a costume. His hat is a joy. I can't look at hats like that without thinking of Beatrice and Eugenie and the Fascinators. Eugenie!
Beatrice! Well, no more Windsors anyway, alas.
Oh, because of Hayden Gwynn.
Oh, they couldn't really.
No, I mean, they don't have Lily Savage anymore.
Yeah. The Harry recast I was never happy with, but they just about got away with. They'd never get away with recasting Hayden Gwynn.
No, for all I think Lily Savage would have been better casting, she did do a brilliant job.
Oh, she was... My favourite scene is when she went up north with Chip Butties and back at Cortina.
No, when she was doing the Cruella de Vil thing with the corgis.
You know, when you think about it on screen, it's very rare they actually use somebody's name. Davros does, but the Daleks very rarely do. Got another flashback.
But in an awful lot of conversation, you don't use names.
True.
Particularly if it's a one-to-one conversation, because you don't need to refer who you're talking to. I mean, they'll use other people's names as reference. I believe the Daleks have discovered a way to exploit static... science in a way he didn't really do after that.
What, the first Doctor?
No, Ian.
Oh, I see what you mean, yes.
He started off as the science teacher, and he does quite a bit of science in this. And there's the bits where he's on his own with Barbara in Keys of Marinus. Oh, Keys of Marinus would be fun in colour.
I've never been a massive fan of it. I think a lot of the season one stories are quite slow.
Yes, but if you do this with it...
Oh, yes, absolutely.
And actually, Keys of Marinus isn't that slow because it's, what, four or five stories bolted together.
They have the ability to produce food by means... of synthetic sunlight.
Temesis, they have means of producing food by synthetic sunlight.
And that bloke behind him does nothing but stare off into the distance. She's got gold nail varnish on.
Ooh, those are some nasty artifacts on Hartnell. It looked like his trousers were segmented for a minute. That's presumably a queer effect of this being filmed on 405 line. This was something you never saw again, Daleks carrying things.
Well, maybe they thought the spaced marshmallows looked a bit shit. Or maybe they never again showed the Daleks feeding things after they saw how terrible their food machine bit in the film of Dalek Invasion Earth was.
Oh, with the little gobstopper things. Some bubble gums.
Wait a minute. Susan, throw me your shoes.
Oh, look at her, the filthy mare. She hadn't even wiped her feet on anything.
You're hoping it's mud.
If he's on time, we have 3 minutes.
I'm ready.
Well, what's been in that jungle to take a show? I suppose it could be Thal Shite.
Completely changes this scene.
He's coming.
There you go, Susan. Point your ass towards the door. That'll distract him.
Take this.
Now, how come she gets to take the tray this time, whereas before she just got the little container of marshmallows? And how many times do the Daleks think they need to eat?
Well, you don't know what the time differential's been between, because there was a passage of time edit.
Well, in which case, if they've been there for 2 meals worth, the Thals are the laziest fuckers on the planet, because they've just been sitting in exactly the same point in the jungle doing fuck all.
Oh, there's a scene in a minute where Ian manoeuvres himself into the death grip. I think it's here. Oh, yeah, there he
is. Yeah.
It's worked. Yeah.
There must be a catch here somewhere. I found one.
Susan. Ooh, new sound effects.
Let's run it off the cloak.
Run it off the cloak and give it its power back.
Well, there is that.
Very nicely squeaky sound effects.
Nicely done.
If I can get inside it. Not much room for my legs, but try the top.
Yes, what a marvellous idea. We'll put the tallest person in the group in the tiny...
How is it?
It's very cramped indeed.
Well, can't you sound more like a Dalek?
Yes, in a monotone. You've heard them.
Do you mean that?
That's it.
And now we see why they didn't put Susan in there.
Oh, Grandfather, it's so cramped in here. I can't see anything. And my legs...
No. Oh, Grandfather!
You lead us, you know the way.
All right, this way then.
Ooh, that's nice.
Quick, Doctor, get in front. Ready? Off we go.
There's a great iron door with a Dalek on guard.
Ooh, I like the funky music.
It's very 60s, isn't it? It fits the movies more than it fits Hartnell Zero of Doctor Who, but I think that's just because we're not used to hearing that style. But I quite like it.
I think it works very well. Well, that's working nicely because... I don't know anything about the process at all, but I imagine flames aren't easy to do.
That lift went up a bit quick.
Okay, so there are times that Carol Ann Ford is quite crap, and that was one of them. The whole flaily arm, hold me back, hold me back.
There's been judicious cuts to this scene, which was already quite well-paced to start with, but it's really paced it well.
Yeah, and the music works brilliantly. It's very pacey now, isn't it?
Yeah, it is. It's really tightened it up.
Although that is a bit, with one bound he was free. But then the original was kind of like that.
Yes, it was. We should have the repeat alarm on standby here, but I just think that the editing here has tightened this thing up massively.
They are approaching.
The Thals do very little other than just sort of stare gormlessly into the distance.
You might have overdone the flashbacks a touch.
Can you hear me? The
I'd never noticed this quite how terrible that Bakelite hat. And how it emphasizes his quiff.
We need your help, and in return, we'll make the soil.
Pew pew!
Grow crops, build homes.
Ian's tie is now blue rather than purple.
And I must lean dramatically against this archway, but not too heavily or fall over.
It's a trap!
No! It's a trap! Get out of here!
Oh, pew, pew, pew!
Oh, that's a nice...
That's nice.
And that's really nice. And I quite like the fact that they haven't replaced it with a new effect, because they could have done that bit very easily.
Did that for the... That sounded like one of the...
That's an unfortunate pose.
By a toilet roll. That sounded like one of the sound effects of the Dalek trooper guns. Or the rebel guns in Resurrection of the Daleks.
Oh, now that's been tarted up nicely, hasn't it?
Oh, that does look nice, yeah.
It's the original films of Marco Polo.
Temesis was killed. The rest of us escaped.
You must take the place of Temesis now.
But I have no Bakelite hat.
Temesis was shot with a special heat ray.
They have made contact with the Thal. It is logical that...
And have cameras set up in the forest.
What would you do if the Daleks could leave their city? If they came up here and attacked you?
We would go away, back to our plateau where we came from.
Aladdin, you can't go on running away.
I can. I can stare off into the distance constantly.
Ceaselessly.
Has he blinked? Oh yes, so he has.
Oh, there we go.
There can never be any question of the Thals fighting the Daleks.
Well, some good death makeup. You didn't get that in black and white.
How did they manage to get his body? Because was that blokey that died and was spread-eagled all over the food? In which case, did they nip back past all the Daleks and pick up the corpse and head out with it? Or was it some other random corpse that they happened to have around that they decided to use dramatically?
You lost it?
No. The Daleks took it from me when they searched me.
Oh, shit.
Report! The Thal drugs have been administered to all Daleks in Section 3. When the effects of the drugs are known, you will report back immediately.
Oh, that's Nicholas Briggs.
There will be no more wars.
Your history records. Well, they must be valuable to you.
And this is how Marco Polo got lost the first time.
They could rob, they could steal.
We will not fight.
Supposing I take you down to the city and try and trade with the Daleks, eh?
Yes, let me take your DVD collection down to the Daleks.
If I don't get the fluid link back, the four of us will die.
A teensy bit expositional for something we already know about.
I could take them an alternative.
Bitch slap.
So there is something you'll fight for?
Not well, but you'll fight for it.
Yes, just go and punch the Daleks in the face.
Slap, I think, is the word you're looking for.
Now, earlier in this story, they've been going on about how they need radiation to survive. So why the hell have they taken anti-radiation drugs? And then been surprised when it doesn't go well?
Oh, so they haven't just tested on one Dalek, they've done it on an entire section of Daleks.
Oh dear.
Yeah.
Oh,
that one's particularly bad.
That's very bad, the 45 degree one. Cardboard cut out Daleks to make up the numbers. They all of a sudden looked very, very noticeable in colour.
I have one question to ask you.
Has her fascinator been getting bigger episode by episode?
It seems to have, yes. It's basically started
because,
as a twig, now
because
it's
now like now it's half of Jodrell Bank.
And all of the Daleks 100 times over. If none of you agree with my reasons, then let me go with these people. And I will help you elect a new chief.
Among the 8 of you or whatever.
I suggest
we split into two. And from the looks of most of them, those women are going to be disappointed. Oh, now that's a nice effect.
I've always thought these particular jungle sets are very good.
It's your duty to tell them. You keep your fears to yourself. I don't want you upsetting the others. Is that clear?
Yes.
Well, is it?
Yes.
Is that Antodus? Because we've kind of lost the scenes where they all get named.
Yes. Well, they all die off in fairly rapid succession. Bracket spoilers.
Isn't Antodus the dangly on the end of the rope one?
Yes, I think he is. It's been a while since I've seen this. I'm looking forward to seeing that whirlpool vortex thing. I always thought that was a really good effect.
Oh, I'm glad the mountaineering's over.
So we will send our entire population, bar leader and Mrs. Leader. What? She's just been up and wandering about all over the place. And the fact that he stands upright, it's the biggest disaster in the world. Why is the sky green now?
Yes, it was red before, unless it's...
Green!
The colour for sky green
is the colour green. Of the sky is green!
Unless it's sort of twilight. He's washing his face in turquoise water.
Oh, now that's nice.
That looks really good in colour. The octopus thing.
Didn't it eat one of the Thals in the original?
I think so.
Well, that's nicely done.
Yeah, that's a nice effect, yes.
Or maybe this is the Thal sandwich. Oh, that sounded a bit wrong, didn't it? Yeah, because they start off with about half a dozen of them, didn't they?
Yes.
Come on now. I mean, in colour, the Thals do look terribly 80s new wave, don't they? You can just imagine somebody like Kraftwerk wearing that outfit on stage.
He's also gone a bit ginge.
Why has she changed her blouse?
Has she?
Well, firstly, she's now got Thal pants on. Sorry, Thal trousers on. And secondly, she now has a shiny blouse that buttons up at the front and doesn't have any of that nasty white stuff.
Oh, so she has, yes. Maybe she nipped into the TARDIS when they went back to the camp.
They are attacking our instruments. We must keep alert. Yes.
It looks as if my plan has worked.
Can't keep up this light reflection for long. Never mind.
Why?
Better chance to get into the city and look.
Susan's looking very wild-eyed and off her tits there.
A doctor look. According to the map, we should be moving further to our left.
Look out!
We've come to the end of the set.
So I've never really noticed before, but the sound effects make this. That's original sound, it's not been done up. But you can get away with the most basic sets if it's got a good Foley work.
Yeah. Tell you what we'll do. We'll short-circuit it to another conductor.
I wonder if I can open this box.
Hmm?
Well, that's it. Look, it slides up.
Good girl.
Yes, that's hardly tamper-proof.
Look, we can't wait around here too long. No, just a minute.
When did he stop carrying that shillelagh?
Yes. We should be back before then.
Because he's not got it in every story, has he?
Doesn't he use it for something in Marco Polo? Firstly, I can't remember him using it after Marco Polo. And secondly, it's been so long since I've listened to Marco Polo that I can't really remember because I find it quite dull.
I know, you've always had quite a downer on it.
I don't particularly have a downer on it. I suspect if it was given this treatment...
I can understand why you think it, don't get me wrong. Because it's really, rather than a seven-part story, it's seven set pieces.
Yeah, but so's Keith Marinus.
Yes, but that's unashamedly so.
Oh, panic Daleks are very fun Daleks. Oh, but Grandfather. Well, that's a nice effect.
Rope coming over.
And he just...
Sorry, bad throw, my fault.
Very sensitively done, Ian.
Now give yourself a good long run and jump.
Give yourself as good a long run as the set will allow you. Actually, that's really quite nicely done, isn't it?
Yeah, it is. Well, don't try and commit suicide and then change your mind.
I'm not sure he was trying to commit suicide. I think he was just a bit crap.
turn, killed the Thal leader in your ambush. You will be responsible for more deaths unless you help these people.
The only interest we have in the Thals is that...
Hartnell must have been very, very uncomfortable sat on that studio floor cross-legged.
Well, unless he had a little cushion to sit on.
Oh, tomorrow belongs to me. Now that's quite nice. There was a bit of film grain on those shots, and they've sort of got around with it by putting a sort of pitter-patter rain effect over it.
Yeah, you see, the purple rinse works much better this time, doesn't it?
The explosive device is ready for detonation.
This senseless, evil killing...
Senseless, evil killing that we encouraged.
We're through, I can see a photo.
Oh, you see, that is one of the things that kind of lets down tarting these things up, because it makes the photo blow-ups horrifically obvious.
Yeah, and the uneven edges of those flats.
They are quite shabby flats.
Yeah, but they were supposed to be seen on a 405 line telly for not even a couple of minutes and then move on.
Slightly reckless. This yes, war-loving race
mentality.
Of... I'll just give you time travel.
Yeah, but if you get how ruthless he was at this point, it will be a, oh yes, here's time travel. Off you go into this little vortex. Just tell me where you want to end up. Oh, bye-bye. Say hello to Salamander.
Oh, this is marvellous. Rels? They never called them Rels in the original. Ooh, that's new.
Yeah, they did.
I don't think they did. Rels,
I thought they did. I thought Rels dated back to this.
No, the first mention of Rels, I think, was in the films. I'm willing to be corrected, but I think that's new. Because I know they've recorded new dialogue with Peter Hawkins for this. He's 98 now.
Better than Nick Briggs.
Well, Nick Briggs has recorded dialogue for this. I've heard him before.
Yeah, no fucking surprise there. Yep, the first time Rels were used was Dalek Invasion Earth.
Oh, right, okay. What, the film or the TV series?
Film.
Oh, Barbara's got the stone this time. Pew. I do like those new Dalek gun effects.
Dodging the laser beams is marvellous.
That must have hurt. He brought his hand down on top of that Dalek and smashed one of the bulbs with his hands.
Ooh.
Even if I wanted to, I don't know how.
Well, there we go. The Dalek has died with a stalk on.
I was going to say, I've forgotten that they die with an erection.
What's happened to Ian's trousers?
Oh, they do look a little bit taken up.
Yes, you can tell it's science because he has test tubes with colours in.
I've been making tests, and even you might live to see and hear the birds amongst the trees.
Yes, your plan's a bit shit. We're not staying.
I'm afraid I'm much too old to be a pioneer, though I was once amongst my own people.
Well, then stay and advise.
Oh, is this where he tells a massive, whacking great lie? I never give advice. Never.
Wanted advice, you said. I never give it. Never.
Bollocks.
But I might just say this to you. Always search for truth. My truth is in the stars. Yours is here.
Thank you.
She spent the entire story looking gormless. Oh, Monoptera.
Oh, this is glorious.
Fucking hell.
Our lives are important, at least to us. As we see, so we learn. Our destiny is in the stars. So let's go and search for it.
Shit. And the only audio in it was from the toy maker.
Not that that's a hint in any way.
Right. That was a bit good.
Just a pity. I mean, it works, don't get me wrong, but just a pity they've not used the end theme. I can see why. Because it's sort of a trailer for what's to come.
Oh, geez, and that trailer for what's to come. If that's a this is what we're working on, omnibus editioning and colourising, fuck me pink, that looks fantastic. But there were stories in that that they were colourising that aren't complete. So how could you omnibus something that isn't complete?
Well, I think they've just colourised little snippets, haven't they? As, you know, look at the rest of the era sort of thing. So I don't think that they sat on a great cache of colourised stories ready to go. I just think they've done a clip show. How good did those film sequence Daleks look from Invasion of Earth, though? That could have been filmed yesterday. Oh, tiny 1.5 second clip.
Yeah, and I think there were more clips from the Web Planet than anything else. Maybe that's going to be the next one.
I can't deny, actually, yes, there were quite a few. Wish fulfillment. Come on, BBC, give him what he wants.
And very little Troughton.
Well, there was no Troughton, was there? There was only that brief shot from Tomb of the Cybermen at the end, where he was having the conversation with Victoria.
Yeah. So what was there that they showed?
Web Planet, Crusade.
Web Planet, Crusade, Reign of Terror, Dalek Invasion Earth, Dalek Master Plan.
Romans.
War Machines.
Tenth Planet.
So a couple of clips from Celestial Toymaker.
Again, wishful thinking to think that that's been found, but...
Don't get me wrong. I would love any episode to be found, but Celestial Toymaker would not be top of my list. Celestial Toymaker would actually be bottom of my list. But if the entire story turned up and it demonstrates itself to be vastly better than episode 4, then happy days. But I suspect it's 4 episodes of Shite and I'd far prefer the Savages.
Or the Smugglers.
But we don't get a choice about these things.
No, we don't. Life's so unfair. So before we disappear down a rabbit hole, final thoughts.
It was fantastic. It wasn't absolutely flawless. When you're editing down 7 episodes to 75 minutes, so basically just over 10 minutes an episode, you're going to have to cut out an awful lot of stuff, and some of it was stuff that explains plot. You just have to accept that. The colorization looked gorgeous. The tiny, tiny finickety flaws that we found were tiny and finickety. The new soundtrack is wonderful.
Oh, isn't it?
The new edit with the flashbacks and all of that, absolutely superb stuff. Clear 10 out of 10. Next one, please. That was really good.
Yep, 10 out of 10 from me. I can't wait to see the next one. Don't care which one it is. If I'm honest, the one that I really wanted to see was the very first episode, but for reasons which we won't go into, we couldn't have that. If I had minor niggles, they wouldn't even be worth mentioning because they're just too minor to bother about. This was fucking wonderful. It's everything I've ever wanted Doctor Who to look like from the 60s, and now it does. And how lucky are we that there's more on the way, we hope.
Yeah, it was absolutely incredible. I'm blown away by it. And I have the DVD on order. I mean, to be fair, I had the DVD on order before I'd even watched it because support these things or they don't happen again. But I now have the DVD on order and I'm very excited for it to turn up and for me to be able to watch it again.
Absolutely. And on that note, boys and girls, we shall sign off in glorious Technicolor. Thank you for listening. We would both urge you to go out and watch and support the BBC in these little ventures, because as Simon says, if we don't support them, we won't get any more of them. And they are well worth your time and money.
Yes. And for anybody out there who says that it shouldn't have been done and you don't like it and it's not your Doctor Who and you're going to go and hide in your bedroom and sulk, well, off you go. You don't have to watch it. It is there as an alternative. Nobody has destroyed the originals. Nobody has burst into your basement and destroyed your Blu-rays or DVDs. What I mean is that if you have a massive objection to a re-edit and in colour and the colourisation process, and if you have a massive problem with all of that and you think it should be watched as it was transmitted originally, fantastic. You do you. But don't piss on anybody else's chips. Bottom line, it's fucking brilliant.
Seconded. And with that, boys and girls, we shall sign off. Thank you for listening. We hope you've enjoyed the ride. Ta-ta.
Bye-bye.
The Exton Moss Experiment featured Simon Exton and Ken Moss. All featured soundtracks are the property of their respective producers, and no infringement of copyright is intended. Title music was performed by the BBC Symphony Orchestra, and the programme was produced by Maverick Productions. For more information, please visit maverickproductionsuk.blogspot.com or find us on social media.